Last Word on Today FM.
It's great to have one of our favourite long-term contributors to The Last Word back with us in studio. Lara Marlowe has a new book, and thank you, Lara, for being with us. And tell us about who you have brought to studio, please, and what the book is.
Thank you, Matt. I have sitting on my right, Lieutenant Yulia Mikitenko, who is 29 years old. She's a frontline commander in Donbass, in Donetsk. She is the commander of a 25-man reconnaissance platoon, and their job is to fly drones over the Russian lines and watch what the Russians are doing. Sometimes they send FPV drones, which are kamikaze drones, which blow up on Russian targets. And she's been in the army almost continuously, with the exception of 6 months, since 2016. So at the age of 29, she's already got 8 years of service in the Ukrainian army. And to the right of Yulia is Nazar Yatsishin, who is a conference interpreter who has worked with me on all three of my long trips to Ukraine for the Irish Times, and who's a terrific guy. And we've been on tour with his book for 10 days now.
How did you find Yulia, and why did you decide that she was the perfect subject for a book?
I was writing an article about women in the Ukrainian armed forces. There are 60,000 of them, of whom 10,000 in combat zones. And Nazar and I contacted Veteranka, the Women's Veterans Association in Kyiv, and they put us in touch with Yulia, who was in her frontline position in Donetsk. And we did a Zoom interview with her in August of 2023. I was very impressed with her, and I must say she got more space in my article than any of the other women I interviewed. And then several weeks later, I was back in Paris. I was looking for a subject for a book to write. I had two or three in mind already, and it just popped into my head. I had to write a book about Yulia because her story was so powerful. Not only is she one of the, perhaps the bravest person I have ever met, has received a medal for courage from President Zelensky, has rescued wounded men and bodies of her comrades on the front line. But she also has a very tragic personal story. Her husband was killed in a Russian bombardment. He was also a soldier in 2018. And her father self-immolated on Maidan. And then you add to that she was one of the leaders in the Maidan protest. She co-founded the women's unit on the Maidan. And just a personal history that really reflects everything that has happened in Ukraine since independence in 1991.
Yulia, it strikes me that sometimes we're guilty here in Ireland of thinking that the war only started 2 years ago when Russia invaded. But the war had actually started many years earlier, hadn't it?
Yes, it started in 2014, basically, when Russian troops came in Crimea and Donetsk and Luhansk region.
You were still a teenager at that stage, so why did you decide that you wanted to fight?
Not a teenager, a little bit older. But yeah, anyway, I was like 19 years old when Russia invades Ukraine. And I wanted to join the army in 2014, actually. But in that period of time, I've been second course at my university, and which is why I decided that it might be not a very good idea to leave the university and join the army. So I decided to graduate from university and started my military career.
Are there many women involved in fighting at the front for Ukraine, to defend Ukraine?
Yes, as Lara mentioned, it's almost 10,000 of women who are actually on a combat positions, but there are also 50,000 who are doing some more supplying job.
How difficult is it to experience? Because when you, and I'm sorry to hear that your husband died, and you must know many other people who have died or who have been seriously injured. How difficult is it to keep going when you see those things?
Each death, it's a big tragedy. despite that we really we have a lot of deaths which surrounds us, I'm trying to think about those who are still alive and who are worth to be to protect. I mean, for example, my family and my comrades, and also with honor to those who are fallen. So we just we can't spoil their memory by doing wrong things.
How terrible would it be for you and for Ukraine if Russia was to win this war?
I think that we will all be dead, as it's going to be massive graves with me and my comrades.
Are you hopeful that you still will be able to win the war? Because a lot of people say you're not getting the support that you need from Europe and from America when it comes to being given the armaments you require and being allowed to forcibly attack Russia.
I think that we've already won, because we still fighting and we resist second army in the world. And as it appeared, it's not very so second. I think that we've already won in some sort of. It depends on what we can claim as a victory. If it's returning all our territories from 1991, we are clearly understand that it won't happen in a just small perspective. I think that each of us start there our way of warrior, and I think we will resist in any way.
Nazir, is victory in a sense continued resistance? The fact that you're still fighting 2.5 years after the main Russian invasion in itself a victory?
I believe that Ukrainian identity is the key that we are trying to protect. Territory is important, but it is worth mentioning that throughout the history, Ukraine has lost a lot of territories. And in fact, there was a period of time where Ukraine did not have any territory at all, yet identity remained. And I believe that this is something that we are fighting for. And in that sense, I would support Yulia that victory is achievable as long as we keep fighting and keep resisting.
Lara, that's really interesting what they're saying about identity, because I think we do at times perhaps are guilty of looking at war, about looking at a map and seeing what territory is occupied or not. But this Russian invasion is about not just taking Ukrainian land, it is about damaging or destroying Ukrainian self-identity.
Absolutely. And the Russians, for example, banned the Ukrainian language during the very 300-year occupation, just as the British had banned Irish in Ireland. They called Ukraine Little Russia. They still call it Little Russia, Malorussia. And it's a total denial. Vladimir Putin says all the time, there's no such place as Ukraine. It doesn't exist. It was invented by Lenin. So they are fighting for their identity. They're also fighting for land. They're fighting tooth and nail for it in Donbass now. They've lost 20% of it. And I think what Yulia is admitting is it's very unlikely they'll get that 20% back, at least in the foreseeable future. But she also says, well, the Soviets had all of Ukraine for almost all of the 20th century, and we got it back. Remember, Germany had lost East Germany to the Soviet Empire, and they got East Germany back. So I think they're now looking at the long-term perspective. They're trying to think, well, if we make a deal, if we have real peace, if we have security guarantees, and we know that the Russians will not dare to take any more land, we'll have to live with the loss of that territory, at least for the foreseeable future.
Yulia, you're getting a break from war while you do this book tour, but you are returning to it. Will you be fearful going back to war, fearful for yourself and fearful for others as you go into combat?
I'm not usually very fear of myself. I usually care of my people. And there was one thing that I told them when I left, just don't be killed while I'm back. yeah, it's not funny, but it's sort of a joke, sorry. I think that I've already want to get back because there is where my family is for now.
And the work you do is, as well as commanding a unit, you also use the drones to see where the Russian forces are. Tell us a little bit about that work.
We are using civilian drones for observing the situation on the front line and giving back like online translation on the field. And we are doing that like 24 hours. I mean, with no stopping all the time. Also, we have, as Lara mentioned, FPV drones. It's first personal view drones. We are using them to attack enemies. And also, we have big UAVs drones. It's not drones, but rather wings, which can make a reconnaissance to 20 plus kilometers. So in the deep of the front line. And also we have a big agricultural drones, which we used to drop bombs. And for now, we are using it to drop supplements because a lot of losses we have in the moment of rotation and logistics. So when people come out and take food and water or change themselves. So which is why we decided to use in that way our drones.
Do you have enough equipment and armaments to continue the fight?
You mean drones or?
All types of equipment that you need and also military hardware, guns, bombs.
For now, it's very critical to have more to defense our air. Also artillery shells, it's like extremely critical. Drones is good, but they won't replace artillery at all. And also drones, many of drones.
Nazir, I have one question to you as we come towards the end of this. You've been allowed out temporarily to assist as an interpreter. What's your belief as to the amount of help and support you're getting from outside Ukraine?
Well, I believe that support that is given to Ukraine is critical, as Yulia mentioned, to a victory. I believe that there is also certain fatigue and, in a way, even reluctance to continue supporting Ukraine. And the thought I would like to reiterate is that this is not only a Ukrainian war. This war, unfortunately, affects Europe and the US, basically the whole democratic world. So I think this is crucial to insist on supporting Ukraine further.
Final point to you, Lara, because you said earlier that Yulia is possibly the bravest person you've met. That's quite saying something, because I've interviewed you over the years about all your experiences in the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, in the Balkans. That's a big, big statement to make.
That's part of the reason I chose this title for the book, How Good It Is I Have No Fear of Dying. It's the first line of a poem, a very famous poem in Ukraine by Vasil Shtus, who was a dissident poet in the Soviet Union and died in a Soviet labor camp. And I thought I chose that title because it certainly applied to Yulia's husband, Ilya Serbin, who died on the front line. It applied to her father, who died because to protest what he saw as capitulation to Russia. And it applies very much to Yulia. She is totally fearless.
Nazir, Yulia, and Lara, thank you all so much for being with us.
The Last Word on Today FM.